flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at New Orleans,
yep.
Radio Row. It's 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, and you know that means Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Products brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or the nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, how you feeling? Elliot.
Well, I tell you.
Elliot, are you... Are you getting a scoop? Because you haven't had one scoop all year. Are you getting a scoop?
So, Elliot.
Elliot, are you booking a restaurant? Because you screwed that up, too.
But here,
oh, there he is.
He was doing important stuff. I said, listen, he was actually trying to do something for the city.
He left you hanging.
Which I appreciate. I guess he'll be able to explain it himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where have you been?
So, I was trying to get one of Jalen Hurts' biggest critics to talk about him, but unfortunately that didn't end up happening, so I had to come over here.
I'm right here, buddy.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I'm going to talk about two of them, but
yeah.
I also feel like my timing's off. Weren't we?
What's Tuesday?
The adjustment. Oh, yes. We said 3 to 5, but that's my bad.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have text messages?
Let me tell you.
Because I'm happy to blame him.
If we're gonna,
you know, nitpick people's timing and reservations and all that.
I'm
willing to blame him.
Right. I'll have to look at the text message. You proved me wrong with the text message yesterday. So, you know.
I did.
You did. You
I
got
did
me. I was wrong about that. I'll admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot. Yeah.
You need visual.
Weeks and weeks.
We need an independent arbitrator, everything.
That's why you need to be held accountable, because you will not hold yourself accountable. Elliot, let me ask you this. And I know, because I actually, so I complained about Media Night. I tweeted about it earlier.
It
was stupid. And I wondered if maybe people at home enjoyed it. Apparently nobody at home enjoyed it.
That's what I've heard, too. It's not a good TV product either.
Yeah, they got to do something different than that. I don't think it's good for the fans. I don't think it's good for the media. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good for the players. I think, you know, those guys, this is such a big week for them. And I think the ones who have been there, the ones who have not been there, I think there's a lot of insight to be gained. And this time, when you actually get to talk to them the first time, is a big one. Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate the NFL wanting to make it seem big and give the fans a window into it. But it's almost like, I almost wonder if it would be better, and I know the media would complain, is pick 10 great media.
Yeah.
Put them on stage, 2 from each city, 2 national, 2 independent, something like that. And that way we can all watch it and we can hear everything everybody says. You can't hear the questions. You know what I mean?
So I think there's a couple things. And I've been to, I think, 6 of those now. So that was the worst one by far. Worst media night I've ever been to. I think the location didn't help. I feel like if they spread it out more, it would be a little bit better. But to your point about how the fans at home can enjoy it, because let's be real, that's the majority of the fans.
Yep.
And honestly, the fans in the stadium as well. And it always blows my mind how many fans come to that event. But there was a fair amount of Eagles fans there. There was some Eagles chants. So I think what they should do is, if a guy's at a podium, then the person asking the question has to ask his question into a mic, because nobody can hear what anybody's saying. So if you put Jalen on stage for 15 minutes instead of a full hour, maybe he gets fewer questions, but at least everybody can hear what is being asked. Like, I just don't know what the enjoyable part is. If you're watching, you can't even hear the question. Like, you can hear the reaction,
yep,
but you don't often know, like, what they were even asked.
Well, why would you have Nick talk, Jalen talk, Saquon talk all at the same time?
I agree. Yeah.
Lori and Howie.
And for an hour. Like, that's a long time for them to be up there taking questions.
It was an hour?
They were up there for a full hour, yeah. So wow. I think if you cut that down to 20 minutes, nah. They're not talking as long, but then at least I think it's a better product for everybody.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is I actually think the best stuff you could get from players were the players that weren't on the nobody got to see and hear that
right.
nationally, but the players that you could actually just walk up to and have a conversation with. You know, Cam Jurgens was just standing there.
Yeah, I do think, too, it does give a chance for the players to show their personality in a way they don't often get. Yeah. Like, Chauncey is certainly a guy that shows his personality, but Chauncey very rarely talks to the media. He doesn't really talk after games. So last night, for a full hour, he was available. And, you know, you see some of the clips of him, you know, eating a W cookie with Jameis, talking about how he'll put his Super Bowl ring on his ring finger because he's married to the game. Like, there was just...
I love it. I was doubtful of CJ. GJ's one
Me
of my
too.
Favorite Eagles.
Yeah, he's and also he has definitely added exactly what they hoped he would add.
Absolutely.
Too, right.
Well, both of you guys, all three of you guys are a bunch of stick in the muds.
What does that mean?
And you were there for 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
You certainly must have enjoyed it, so I'd expect you to give me a little bit more of the why it was enjoyable last
night.
Even if these two
No, keep going.
Stick in the muds, didn't enjoy it last night.
Right.
It's a week where there's nothing else really going on. Mm-hmm. So you're hoping you hear something or you see something. But for football fans, you know, it's an opportunity for them just to see what's going on with the two teams that's down at the Super Bowl.
So I think
right? Like that's what it is.
So
fans that come, this is just all a part of the whole experience of the week.
Mm-hmm.
They were there. The Eagles are out there. The Chiefs are out there. You know, to get a chance to be in the building with Patrick Mahomes and Saquon Barkley and all those guys, even if I don't get to talk to them or get a picture with them, I still get a chance to see them.
So what I think last night lacked
I'm in as a fan, all the kids and stuff that were there.
Yeah. Like, it's not an event meant to gather information or ask real questions, right? And what I actually, and I'll be curious for your guys' perspective.
I've been curious.
Yeah, there we go. I am curious. Yeah.
Curious George.
Yeah, exactly. There just wasn't enough wacky stuff last night. Like there was not much. There was one guy dressed as a genie, which was, I guess, like kind of crazy.
Yeah, but that was like Cooper Manning. It wasn't even.
Well, no. Cooper Manning was dressed as a conductor or something like that.
Okay.
There was another guy whose whole body was painted blue. But I think if you're going to your point, Ike, if you're going to just make it about having fun, then, I mean, why are all the writers there and stuff?
Well,
like, then they just make it an event where it's...
all got paid to come down here.
A good observation from former WIP afternoon host Josh Innes, who tweeted at me. He said the only value is when people do wacky stuff, and now when you do wacky stuff, the actual NFL journalists get mad that the wacky people are.
Yeah, that's why.
But
here's the thing: we the actual NFL journalists.
Oh,
shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just came from some press conferences. I'm happy to talk about.
When was the last
football.
Time you wrote something? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just got a few tweets off. So
okay.
I just
he's a video guy
a
now.
Things.
Though.
Yeah.
Right. Have you seen the videos? The walking videos.
Oh,
I'm a content creator. Yeah. I just did one of Radio Row. If you want to check me out on Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram.
Did you see the Threads?
Oh, I did. Don't worry. Yeah.
Stop in. The biggest user.
Wow, now I forget what it was. Oh, is there? They talked. Jalen talked today for 45 minutes. I think he talks on Friday for 45 minutes. He might even talk tomorrow. So last night, like, we don't need Jalen on football stuff.
Well, we
last
should
night.
Make it just about the wacky guys.
Yes, that's
and about the fans,
right?
And a little less about the quote unquote real.
Well, because also, let's be honest, most of the congestion was because of the quote unquote real media.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just all of us walking around into each other trying to ask questions.
Yeah.
It's still a fun event. You're right, Ike. I think that. It's a good way to kick off Super Bowl week. It's cool for the fans that are there. But it hasn't translated to TV well, and I think it's lost a little bit of its luster as like a fun event. It's not really fun anymore.
Well, that's what the NFL is guilty of being greedy.
Yes.
I mean, that's all that really
right.
is, trying to make it a televised event.
Yep. Well, because they want to throw their sponsor on
it. Yes. It's all big bucks. We understand that. And from the players, now – even with Alshon, I understand Alshon certainly hated doing the whole media thing.
Legend.
I think there are for players, it's a good benefit because what else are they going to be doing right now? They got to be down here the entire week. It gives them a chance to let their hair down. They know all the questions aren't like real pressing questions. A lot of the stuff is fun questions, and they get to sit up there and do it. I think the players kind of enjoy it. Most players do enjoy it.
I think most of the players enjoy it. I agree with that, but I would guess like Jalen.
Well,
you know, he has to talk all the time.
Yeah, he doesn't enjoy it.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't enjoy anything.
Yeah. Right, but like Kelee Ringo was playing, I think it was, or no, it was Jalix Hunt was playing Madden last night.
Yeah.
I mean, how is it different from when you were there in 04?
Oh, dude, that I mean, even all three of the Super Bowls that I've gone to since I retired, it was nothing like when I played.
Oh, really?
Wasn't yours in the stadium? Like in the Jack Stadium?
It was in the stadium.
And there were no fans there.
No fans. Yeah. Okay. Strictly media, other than if you got a press credential, somehow you got through there. That's where the Frank Caliendos and all those guys sort of got in there. It was kind of gray sky, about 45 degrees.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of the
videos.
It
wasn't hot or anything, even though I had sunglasses on.
Sure. Well, I had to. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you really just did a bunch of interviews.
And that's when it was media day.
Yeah, it was media day.
It was media day.
Yeah, it was not an event. But when I was growing up, we were watching Super Bowls. I enjoyed seeing the highlights of the players on media day.
Yeah.
You know, Deion Sanders, when he played in the Super Bowl, he was a guy that could sit there and hold court for an hour talking. Shannon Sharp was a big talker at the Super Bowl.
They almost just have to decide. They're trying to be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
They got to decide, who is this for and how do we make it best for those people?
Yeah, who are they targeting?
Yeah.
I also just thought, maybe this is too nitpicky, but the venue was not good either. Like, I've been at ones in basketball arenas where everyone's closer to it. It doesn't feel as empty. I mean, that's a 70,000-person stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there was probably, I don't know, 10,000 people there last night.
Yeah.
Like, you put that in the Pelicans arena right across the street.
Right.
It's not as crowded. Everyone feels closer. So it felt like they just logistically messed it up.
Yeah. So a few good nuggets, and this is the WIP Afternoon Show. This is the first time you're listening to us. Ike Reese right there. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Jack Fritz and Elliot Shore Parks. Joins us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. We are in New Orleans.
Or 2 o'clock, depending on the time zone.
Well, I'm talking to people in Philadelphia.
Kidding. All right,
yeah. A couple of big nuggets. One, now the dome question was you to Jeffrey,
the
right?
Yeah, the real NFL media.
Yeah, to Jeffrey. Don't worry, you get some points out of that.
That's what I do it for.
So Jeffrey's question, so Elliot asked Jeffrey, why don't you explain exactly what you asked and exactly his response?
Yeah, so Jeffrey was asked about kind of the South Philly complex and just talked about the link and, you know, the future of it. And so I asked, you know, a lot of teams in the Northeast have to decide if they want to put a dome or not. Buffalo, MetLife didn't do it. And so I asked him if he would put a dome on the stadium.
Now, is it about putting a dome on this stadium? It would be a new stadium.
I think it would be a new stadium.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And he gave a sort of a both sides answer, it seemed.
Yeah, it was a both sides answer, but I think it was pretty clear where he's headed with this.
Well, because his point was, if you want to host a Super Bowl,
yes.
If you want to host a Final Four,
yep.
You need a dome.
Well, and the other part of it too is just in terms of creating revenue more times out of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, when there's a ceiling on the stadium, you can hold events in the winter, whereas you can't do that, obviously, if otherwise. So,
well, they have a big building that 300 days out of the year, nothing's being done.
Exactly. So I've always said this, and I think last night just reaffirmed it. They're definitely putting a dome on the link. Now, it could be a retractable roof. It could be something where fresh air gets in so you still feel the cold. But they will make it so that they can hold events there year-round, including the Super Bowl, like boxing matches, Final Four, like that type of stuff.
Yeah, I think that is – I understand, and I'm not being a hater. I think it's a massive mistake.
I disagree.
And I think it's a massive mistake because, first of all, putting your football team in a dome creates a disadvantage when you're on the road. Dome teams that play their home games in perfect conditions all the time are just simply less prepared – to play in other conditions. I like when the Rams played well, but I like when a Los Angeles team has to come here and play in cold weather or in snow. Now, snow's not perfect, but I know that I feel like our team has, even if it's a slight advantage, an advantage.
Yes.
I like when a Florida team has to come here, and I don't like when we're on the road, when you go, oh, that's a dome team on the road. And it's not every team, but it does happen. And the other things are, I think football is special in that weather doesn't cancel the game. And I know it ruins it sometimes, but I would say if you charted the number of times that we got interesting results, cold games that end up interesting, storylines, and chart that against we got a bad game because it rained too much, I think your column A with the good results would be way above column B.
So I think there's two ways to look at this. First is just the money part of it. Like, all those things are nice,
I understand,
you know, but
the money
ultimately,
part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So while all those things and the reasons for why, yes, look, the snowball was unbelievable. Like, a top five game I remember covering was the Shady game, like the first snowball, right?
Yeah.
So I agree. Snowball,
that
snow games are awesome. But
it also creates an advantage.
What about the
advantage?
Ball bowl? Well, man, these games have personality.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, listen.
Don't be that, but it's going away, though.
Listen, you worry about your hair too much.
Yes.
You
know, you're soft.
Trust me, I put enough gel in there. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you worry about being comfortable too much. You know, football is about character, man.
Yeah.
And when it's 20 degrees outside and it's going to be a light snow or that chill in the air, it makes our fans – I think a little more ornery when they come into the game.
Well, that's because they get a little bit more lubed up.
Of course, I think
Eagles fans would be better in a dome than they
would. No, they absolutely would.
I'll know what to tell you. Domes are so much louder, and the Eagles fans
are like Seattle, where you cheat and make it louder.
I've been to Seattle. It's not that loud. Like, the domes are the ones that are actually the loudest ones to play in. If you put Eagles fans, 70,000 Eagles fans in a dome, it would be the best home field advantage in the NFL, bar none.
I don't care about how loud it is.
But that matters when you're talking about the game.
First of all, when they put this dome in here, believe me, the more stadiums they put up, the less
– Well,
The less Eagle fan that we're accustomed to seeing at games are going to be at games.
More pampered.
Exactly.
Yeah, like you, Elliot.
You're going to get the fan that comes in, you know, they want to clap.
Yeah.
You know,
it's caviar.
The game.
They tell you to sit down.
Yeah, it's because the seat prices are going up.
Yeah.
How are you going to pay for that?
Well,
dome?
I got – whether there's a roof or not, the seats are going to be expensive in the stadium. But regardless, you're thinking about home field advantage. Mm-hmm. More and more stadiums are going to be domes. Like, within 15 years, there will be how many stadiums in the league that don't have a roof on it? Like, there won't be many. So this thing about home field advantage, playing in the cold, not – pretty soon they'll all be inside. And also, I think when you're playing in a stadium without weather, you get better football from your team. If you're a true fan of watching players be their best, then you want to see them in a dome. You want to see Saquon.
It sets Northeast football apart.
They're getting greedy, and they're going to ruin it.
It's a man sport.
It would be a man sport inside, too. It would be.
I could play football in a dome.
So I actually think it's harder in some ways to play in a dome than it is in elements.
No, it's not.
I think so.
What'd you
just say? Because I think it's harder to play football in a dome than it is in elements.
Yeah, that just goes exactly against what you
just
said.
No. What I'm saying is players can be the best version of themselves when they don't have to deal with the elements, right? I when I go to see an NFL game, I go to see the guys be at their best. Like, if you think weather adds element, let's, like, sprinkle water at NBA games. Like,
do you think anybody who was at the snowball against Detroit or the playoff game against the Rams, and if you said you could get that – excuse me –
You this get, tough guy over here once.
You can cough on me.
I coughed into my hand.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, you're already sick. Trust me, I can't get you any sicker. If you had asked any of those fans who were there.
I closed the Bourbon Tree one time.
Yeah, I know.
I'm done.
Yep.
Yes.
You said.
I'm happy you're done.
Said to those fans, hey, you could go to that game again, but it doesn't have snow, and the players would play a little bit better. How many people do you think would say, I would rather there wasn't snow at that game?
I agree with you on that.
Okay.
But that is two games in what? 12 years?
Yes, and the
so
other
So all those other 8,800
games?
No, but they're a better product. Like, the Eagles, I want to see Saquon, AJ, and Devontae play in a good surface, in a good environment where they can be the best version of themselves. And you say it's
Speaking of surface, natural grass is not in the dome, right?
No. So they have to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to the point about getting the best version of the team, you view it as a home field advantage. If I'm a Rams fan, I'm furious about the fact that all their work that season, all like the time they put in, it snows and now they're at a disadvantage.
That's not fair.
Grow up is not a real response. Like, that is not fair to them. If I'm the Eagles,
it's called home field advantage.
Yeah.
But then why do they play the Super Bowl in a dome?
Well, because most of the fans that are coming here to the Super Bowl aren't the fans.
They didn't play.
I mean, in a warm weather environment.
In a warm weather.
They do it because you don't want the game impacted. I don't want weather to impact the game.
Because they also want the cities that are hosting these games to have the ability to enjoy the fruits of having a Super Bowl there. If you go somewhere where the weather may be down, maybe you may not get as many people to want to go to Minneapolis.
I was going to say, Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. You may not get as many people. So they try to have it in areas like Florida or California or places. I'm okay with other domes around the league. Quite frankly, I just don't want one in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm.
And I get this is how it'll go. Ready? Everybody will say no dome. This is the worst. Blah blah blah. And then the dome will be built, and people
will
go see it.
Well,
and it'll be loud, and it'll be like this is the best thing that's ever.
Nah, we'll lose our edge.
No, yeah. I think you'll gain the edge.
Nah.
It'll be a better home field environment with the dome.
By the way, 215-592-9494. When the Eagles build a new stadium, should it be a dome?
Yes.
The other thing I would say is that the NFL is the biggest sport in America.
Yes,
for sure. And, you know, they've been growing and growing and growing and growing. There does come a point where when you decide that your optimization is revenue, 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 you will affect the product. And there will be a point where they sterilize football so much that they will take away something that people like about it. And then that will be the beginning of a downturn. And I think one of the special things about football is that it is played in weather sometimes.
Yep.
And I don't think you can take that away.
Yeah, so I you are giving something up. I'll acknowledge that, right? When you make a change to, let's just say all the stadiums are domes. Like, yes, you're giving something up. I agree with that. But what you're gaining is a better product on the field, and you're gaining, I think, a better home field advantage when you're in the stadium from an experience. It'll be louder. It'll be more enjoyable in that dome. You're right. Like the snow games, the cold games, it does add something that they will lose. But I think you're gaining more than you're losing.
As a writer, don't you want to write about the scenery?
See, no, he doesn't imagination write, though.
I will say the snow videos do well on some.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I do. I will miss
that.
Trust me, I was tweeting about the weather nonstop.
I know.
Oh, believe me, I saw it.
I know, right?
Yeah. I know.
Meteorologist Elliot.
Exactly right.
You almost broke Ike that week.
I'm like,
and who would have thought it was weather that did it? You know?
Yes.
But no, yeah, I agree. I'll miss doing that. But ultimately, I've been in the new domes around the league, and they're way better.
215-592-9494. Mike and Cherry Hill, you're on WIP.
Yo, Mike, and oh my God, I'm not forgetting Fritz, but Elliot, you drive me up a wall.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. He has that effect on
you. Yeah, why don't you tell him why, Mike?
Why are you not excited about the dome?
I'm gonna tell you why, all right? I heard Ike telling you that's what's called home field advantage. Were you just saying that the Rams are upset because they came here and it snowed?
Yeah, well, they should be upset.
What?
I'd be mad if I was a Rams fan.
The Eagles played when it snowed. What about when we go there and it's 95 degrees, 100 degrees in September?
Yeah, Elliot.
Well, what do you think's harder to play in, heat or freezing rain and snow?
Actually, I would say heat.
That all depends.
Also, it's air-conditioned.
It could be 35, 40 degrees snowing. That's not that cold, bro.
Well, let me ask you something, right? So, your
job. Did you say bruh?
I think he gave him a bra.
Hold on. So let's just say for anyone else's job, right? You do it the same way all the time. You go in, right? And then one day you show up and it's snowing, right? Like, that's not fair. So if I'm a Rams player, I've worked all year. I play in regular environment. They don't play in 100 degree heat. And now all of a sudden, the biggest game of the year, they have to deal with elements. Like, there's an element of unfairness to that. We all agree to give the Eagles an advantage.
Fairness. This isn't Pop Warner. Why do you keep talking about unfairness?
Yeah.
You would feel differently.
Orange slices.
Hold on. You would
trophies
feel
for everyone.
I'm a listener of the station. I'm an electrician. I work out in the cold and that. You know what?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you guys say about that, Elliot?
Yeah. Right, and you know what? For you, I wish you didn't have to do that. I wish you didn't have to. And there is a way where the
boy likes his job.
I make a decent living.
I'm sure you're. No, I'm saying in that element.
Probably
the element.
Makes more than you.
I'm sure he does. Yeah. But I'm saying you have to work in the cold. That's part of your job, right? If there was a way for you to do your job in better weather, would you rather do that?
This is awesome.
All right.
So Fran, was his phone like that? Or
no, I don't think it's his
earlier
phone.
In the day they had
it. Okay,
yeah,
good.
I think it's the internet.
But to his point, if he had an ability to do his job in better conditions, I'm sure he would pick that.
Sure.
This is the only way I would accept it. If they build a retractable dome and agree to, unless there's lightning and something dangerous, they leave the dome open. And then when they want events like Super Bowls, Final Four.
I think that's so silly. Like, we're gonna put a roof in there just so the crowd that likes weather has
We're gonna put a roof in there for all the money reasons you want to put.
Hold on, I'm saying a retractable roof. We're gonna put a retractable roof there. So what? If it's raining, we're gonna open the roof.
Yeah. No, it's always open.
I would leave
unless,
it open. Yeah.
What about snow?
No.
Yes.
What part don't you understand?
Well, then don't. Then what's the point of the?
I just said it. You're not. You're so busy thinking about your next tweet.
No.
The reason I said it.
I have my next tweet scheduled.
Okay.
Don't worry.
The reason that you
and
do
threats.
It is all of the money that you are talking about by having events on non-football days you can do with a dome.
Yes.
But leave the football the way the football
is. If there's 10 inches of snow coming, that needs to happen in the field.
Yes.
I think that's silly. I would rather have them play in a good environment each week where they can be the best version of themselves. And to put a retractable roof in is basically just being bullied into like this antiquated way of viewing football.
But
football is only
played. Actually taking the people who love the game into consideration.
Real football guys.
I just
dude, imagine a roof at Lambeau.
Oh.
I got news for you. I'm sure there will be a roof at
Lambeau.
There's
a 0% chance.
There's never going to be a roof at Lambeau.
Okay, so, people said that about
first
the
first of all, they don't have any other events to host there doing
it. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe they would if they had it.
Yeah, they have tractor poles. all that kind
so,
of stuff.
So, by the way, when we were out to breakfast this morning, Elliot, unprompted, asked me, the dome quote was the quote of the night, right?
I mean, it was. Yeah.
he's looking for credit for the question.
Yeah. All right. More with Elliot.
It's a funny anecdote.
You guys
always listen for content.
I'm happy at number three on the insider list. I've landed in my safe
spot. By the way, there is no, you know, I have that thing that you say, NFA, is when you're talking to somebody off air, you say it's not for air. You could tattoo NFA on Jack's forehead. It doesn't matter. It's always for on the air.
If I think it's funny, it will be brought up.
All right, coming up next with Elliot, we will talk about the Eagles offensive coordinator. We will talk about if there's any injury updates. Also, I have a very big Jalen Knight question for Elliot.
Oh.
Your calls as well, 215 on any of these topics, 215-592-9494. We're at Radio Row in New Orleans. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You guys don't like this song?
I like our songs.
Damn no, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I like our songs.
We let this kid take over, and he just becomes his own DJ.
Why?
Because that's the most important thing is playing your own favorite songs.
So you can tweet out at the end of the week.
Everybody's returns. Watching. Yeah. Everybody's watching. Oh, what songs did he play for 8 seconds on the radio that the host didn't want to hear? The Twitter question is – congratulations. Woo! You won that one. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. Fran hates me so much. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. I'm going to read – the second one is what I want your response on, but I want to read the other ones. The first one, do you want the Eagles to build a dome? 71% say no. But the yes is higher than I thought, 29%.
Yeah, by the time that could be 80%.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll all change their mind.
Now – the rumor is, now Kellen Moore is going to the Saints. We all pretty much know. The rumor is that Kevin Petullo is the front runner, the pass game coordinator, to get the offensive coordinator position. We asked the question, do you want the Eagles to go outside the organization, which I did, for offensive coordinator? Now, outside the org got 76% of the vote. First of all, what do you know about Kevin Petullo? Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, what is your opinion on inside, outside?
So Kevin Petullo is kind of Sirianni's right-hand man.
Yep.
Like, he brought when they hired the staff as a team, obviously Howie had a lot of input in that. Like, Kevin was Nick's guy. So he's right there with them. Like, I don't believe he's ever called plays before, but he's very involved in how the offense is built. He's been here the whole time. So that's kind of Kevin Petullo. Like, he's a behind-the-scenes guy. He doesn't really talk to the media. I would not promote Kevin Petullo. I would not. I would definitely fall on the side of I would hire from outside the organization. I think one of the main reasons it fell apart after 2017 was they just kept promoting from within. They did that on the offensive side of the ball. And then even then, when they brought in Rich Gangarello from the Niners, he wasn't really in an important enough role to make a difference. I think two things. One, it always helps to get a fresh set of eyes on things. Even if what you're doing now is working, the league will adjust to you, and I just think it benefits you to have another set of eyes. But I also think, like, one of Nick's strengths since his time that he's been here is he is not a power-hungry guy. And I think bringing in someone, like when they brought in Kellen Moore, I think it really helped the team to have a fresh set of eyes on the offense. I don't think they made massive changes to the offense, but the changes that they did make, I think happened because a fresh set of eyes came in. So I think getting a fresh set of eyes, even if it's not broken, there's just a chance to do that, I think is beneficial.
For me, I just want, I want to know all of what Jalen Hurts is capable of. And the passing game has taken steps back. And I can't, I know there's more there, right? Like, they've succeeded with him like this. But to your point, I think if they're going to succeed moving forward, they need to pass the ball more.
So,
and I just think,
I don't know if you necessarily need to do that.
Yeah, and I also think that while I agree, if they could,
you're not always going to have Saquon Barkley, by the way.
Right, and I get your point that if they started being an offense where Jalen threw it 40 or whatever, whatever you pick, 35 times, 30 times a game.
30.
Yeah, 30 times.
20, like, 27 to 30.
For like 10 straight weeks. I'd be curious to see what the results would be. But I think they came in this season wanting to throw.
Yes.
So I don't think it matters who the coordinator is unless you think that person's going to.
Well, here's where we are. Here's where, for me, I split in the road with you guys. You can throw the ball 27 to 30 times a game just like they do now. I would imagine. Now, there were those games in there where it was around 20 to 22 dropbacks. But I think sometimes the end numbers aren't really the indication of what they did going into the game. You've even brought this up about the passing attempts.
That they call 32 dropbacks, exactly. Right. But he throws it 22 times.
So why wouldn't I continue on that path and allow him to get better at what he's already been doing? I think in a sort of in from a premise standpoint, I think it's a sound strategy. You want to get somebody in who all that stuff. But for this particular player and what works for him, and that's what matters. Mm-hmm. It's what works for him and how is he at his best. And he's already been on record talking about consistency and how much he wants consistency. Mm-hmm. So if you at least keep him in the same offense or some variation of it, maybe he develops even more from that versus bringing in another new system. That coordinator has to figure out what Jalen's good at, what he's not good at, what can I run in my offense versus what I can't run in my offense. Like, we run the risk of happening what happened this year. And what essentially happened this year was he couldn't run the offense that Kellen Moore wanted him to run, and they had to change the offense.
So I would agree.
So who's
with
to
you.
Say that won't happen with the next coach that comes in?
So I agree with you on that in terms of keeping consistency. I guess I don't view hiring a new coordinator as bringing in a new system. I view hiring a new coordinator from outside the building as someone that can come in and help them, like, any problems they think they could solve, just having a fresh set of eyes.
Well, if you're not bringing in a new system, what's the point?
Well, how much control does Sirianni have over the offense, I think, is the other question. Like, is it Sirianni's offense or is it not?
Well, him and Jalen are obviously very involved. Like, Jalen audibles all the time. He helps pick what plays are in the game plan for that week. So,
well, what I want is, and I don't even know if this is possible, I know that when – you're going to laugh at me because of the name I'm bringing up. But I know when Daniel Jones got released, he wanted to go somewhere where he sees an offensive guy, and in that case it's the head coach, it's Kevin O'Connell, and it's Josh McCown, but where he can go and somebody can tell me, unlock what I have, make me better. I want an offensive coordinator that is going to look at Jalen and be able to communicate with him on a level that he can see what he can see. All right, we're calling 31 dropbacks. Why is he eating the ball and sacking it? Why? How can I get into his head and say, maybe don't eat the ball on that one? You know, do this, do that. Now, and I'm not talking about throwing it 35 times or 40 times. I'm talking about the same number of dropbacks but not have so many negative plays.
So,
and I think
why can't Petula do that?
See, but to me, that's more of a coaching thing than a scheme thing.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm talking about bringing in a coach.
Right, but when I think of bringing in a coordinator,
I think you're talking about a scheme. Yes.
You're more talking about, like, a teacher, I guess.
Well, it's both.
Yeah,
it's both,
yeah.
Right?
So I don't have a desire to change a scheme. I'm fine with how they do it now.
And I also think the best coordinators, the best coaches, which is why I'm not – the consistency thing, I'm worried about less. And here's why. Because I think the best guys are going to eventually get poached. But you can learn from those best guys in the year or two that you have them. And I want somebody who's going to come in here and say, and the best guys too, they have the scheme that they prefer, but also look at their players and go, I can't do that with this guy, but I got this answer for that, you know?
So I
just think there's somebody out, and maybe it's Kevin Petullo, I don't know, but maybe there's somebody out there that can look at him and work with Jalen Hurts and say, there is more here. Because I do believe there's more there than what we saw this year.
So I think also what will happen is, as Jalen enters what will be, his sixth year at this point?
Yep.
I mean, he'll start to become also more of the quote-unquote coordinator. Like, the more he has control, like, just the more he's played, the more he's seen, the more he knows what he likes. So there will be a point here where, I mean, Jalen is already this to an extent, but Jalen will have the biggest influence over what play is actually ran. Now, to your point about finding somebody that can make it so if they call 32 runs, the ball is thrown 27 times instead of whatever, 20.
Yep.
I think we're talking about different jobs here. I don't view hiring, promoting Kevin Petullo as either helping or hurting that. Like, I think the new coordinator.
I think it helps.
You think promoting Kevin Petullo helps Jalen?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, I think whoever...
I think consistency helps him.
But I
think you're minimizing that job.
That's why it's called consistency.
No, I know, but whatever problems we perceive Jalen to have, the people in the building...
The problem is maybe it was his first year in this offense.
Yeah, that
so
could be...
So why not give him another year in the offense? The evidence shows when he's had 2 years to be in the offense, he played at an MVP level.
Yeah, I would not make major changes to the offense.
Okay,
I would
that's what I'm saying.
So I'm saying, so Kellen Moore leaves, they have to hire somebody.
Yeah.
I just think the benefit of having that open position is Kevin Petullo is already in the building. So right. I would use that position as a chance to poach a young offensive mind you could bring in to learn from.
Why? First of all, you think Kevin Petullo doesn't want to be an offensive play caller. So now you bring somebody else in from outside the building. What type of loyalty are you showing to your guys that are there now? That's why these guys get these jobs. They get promoted from within by showing loyalty by staying with the head coach.
Right.
And they've been teaching the offense. They know the players. They know the culture of the building versus someone else coming in, and that person has to learn all the personnel on the offense. Mm-hmm. Does he get along with Nick Sirianni? Right? Mm-hmm. You know, Kellen Moore was the right person to hire because I believe Kellen Moore is more of a he's a guy who is not looking to be out front. He doesn't mind not – he doesn't have an ego is what I'm really trying to say.
Right.
So now who are you bringing in? What's the kid from Houston? Slowick?
Slowick, yep.
We'll bring one of these guys in?
I would be interested in having Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, why? He just had C.J. Stroud, and they fired him.
So – I don't know if Kevin Petullo has desires to be a coordinator. But you're right. These guys always want to.
Well, of course. They do.
Why wouldn't they?
They do.
No, they do. You're right.
So the point is, if the report is true that they planned on hiring from within, they obviously know he's the guy.
So, yeah, and I think that would be a mistake. Because I think with an open position, you have a chance to bring someone else from outside the building that can help. And the last two times they've promoted from within, it was Brian Johnson. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out. And it was Mike Groh. That didn't work out. I think when you promote from within, it's easier to stay stale in that instance, whereas when you bring in fresh ideas, maybe it's not a 50% overhaul of the offense. Maybe it's 20%. And, yeah, that's hard to learn, but ultimately the 20%, I think, keeps you fresh and keeps you evolving, whereas when you just promote from the guys that are within the building, I think it's harder to come up with new ideas. And I think you need new ideas, especially when you're the top dog, to continue to get better.
215-592-9494. Now, we are in New Orleans, and Booze is in New Orleans. And Ike, you...
Oh, you said Booze is in New Orleans.
Booze is in New Orleans. B-O-O-Z-E, not B-O-O-S.
Yeah, I was going to say, is anybody booing around here?
Not yet.
But listen, Birds fans, listen, I'm bringing you Game Day Essentials to get you ready for Sunday. Championship Sunday, or some people like to refer to it as Super Bowl Sunday. That's right, Super Bowl 59.
Dump.
It's in one of my reads. All Surfside right. Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Both are absolutely delicious and available in the convenient variety pack. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, no bubbles, no troubles, zero carbonation. A great watch party starts with what's in the fridge. So make sure you stock it up right. Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, the official cocktail of Philly sports. Ask for it at your local bars, liquor store, and grocery stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Costos is out of control over here, by the way.
I'm hearing him yell in my background.
This is how everyone else felt around 5:30 Creed.
I was going to say, the guys that at 5:30 are going to scream Creed out loud.
Do you think Brady or Rose ready for 5:30 Creed today?
Well, what's funny is the more crowded it gets, more people have not experienced it.
Yes.
If you're around the same people every day.
Yeah.
You know.
And the other big issue is that, I know it's Radio Row. It's more Media Row. Bureau, all these other fake media companies,
yeah,
they don't know how to make good content.
True.
So they're confused when we do something like 5:30.
When you guys do something interesting and different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But now, for what it's worth, nobody cared. Nobody complained.
People loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a good story,
just
too, for
started.
People.
It will change.
215-592-9494. Al in Philly, you're on WIP.
It's actually Al from Uptown. But
Al from Uptown.
All right.
Yeah, that's still Philly, though. All right. One, you guys are talking this new offensive coordinator thing. I think if Kellen Moore leaves, he's a fool. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on with New Orleans. And I don't know if he wants to be tied to that with the cap hell that they'll be in.
So I just think I get your point. I don't think it's a good job at all. I don't think it's a good opportunity. But he's been passed over so many times for coaching jobs at this point. I don't blame him for just jumping at one.
Yeah, but that's still a poor idea because he could come back, coach the Eagles to another Super Bowl, and then have his pick of a litter. I would bring Frank Wright in here. I don't know how anybody feels about that.
Well, now, that's going to be
go
the
get
guy.
Frank Wright. Go okay. get Frank Wright. If you're going to lose Kellen Moore, give me Frank Wright. He's the quarterback whisperer. He's been a part of two poor organizations leaving the Eagles. And in my opinion, he should have never walked out the building in the first place.
Well, that's another element of this we didn't talk about is I don't believe Kevin Petullo has ever called plays. Brian Johnson had never – I don't think he had ever called plays at the NFL level.
Nick Sirianni can't call plays.
No. Well, Shane Steichen called plays.
Well, I'm saying, so the new coordinator is going to have to call plays. So if you promote Kevin Petullo and he's never done that, Frank Reich has called plays.
What I'm saying is the first time somebody called plays,
right.
You know what their previous record was, right? They never called plays before.
No, I know, but I'm saying.
So, no, my point is at some point you give a guy a chance.
For sure, for sure. But I think, and maybe it's just a one-year sample, so it shouldn't be the overarching lesson, but I think Nick does better with experienced coordinators.
Oh, listen, we're talking Frank Wright. Come on now.
That's what I'm saying, Frank over Kevin Petullo.
Yes.
I don't think Frank's bringing
Frank
in.
Wright,
Frank's not bringing in some, like, new-age ideas, but he has called plays.
I would take Frank Wright, too.
Frank Wright all day long. Bring me Frank Wright.
Right.
King of Philly. Okay. Yeah. Secondly, the dome thing is stupid to me. But would I accept a retractable roof so we can still let snow fall on people's heads? Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go. Give me the retractable roof.
Yes,
get them into thinking they're coming into a clean environment.
And then back snow.
Yes. Yep. I really hope Larry is not bullied into a retractable roof. There's no shot they want to put a retractable roof. The only reason they would put it is because they're worried about fan backlash.
If they do the retractable roof, they can still do that.
We're the ones that buy the tickets.
First of all, I've been to stadiums with retractable roofs. They're tiny and they're never open. So, like,
I open it.
A retractable roof is like a lie.
Before snow. That's
right. Most of them in dumb places. Who told them to put a retractable roof in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, that is.
I don't know. Yeah, that's just so silly to me.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, the Cowboys, I think, their stadium is retractable.
No, they open
roof.
It up sometimes.
Yeah, the last time they opened it up, like, a piece fell off of it. That's how long it's been.
They
since
have issues
they
in that stadium, though. The sun's in the wrong spot.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
And then I want to talk about a subject that you guys might be a little touchy on.
No windows on the stadium.
I quoted as NFL simps. There are people that wish that they had a quarterback that doesn't really equate to anything, i.e. the Josh Allens of the world, the Lamar Jacksons of the world. They're great quarterbacks, don't get me wrong. But when I say NFL simp, I mean it's just like a guy. You got a bunch of money. You get the hot chick. She never touches you. She never rubs your back when you're tired. She's a 10, but she doesn't do anything for you. She's pretty to show off, but what does she really do? Whereas though you have your Jalen Hurts, who might be a solid 7, but she cooks dinner. She rubs your back when your arms hurt, your back hurt. She does anything you ask her to do. She's just not as cute as everybody else.
She's wifey.
She got the body, but she ain't as cute.
Yeah. The ironic part about that analogy is...
Can she squat 600 pounds?
Well, no, that Jalen actually looks better than both of
them. I knew that's
guys.
Where you were going to go with that.
I mean, well, he's the one who actually does look better.
He's the one getting asked at media night how he's so good looking.
Oh, it was so awkward. Yeah. It was so awkward. Like, how are you so good looking?
I mean,
it was the best clip of the night, though.
Sorry, Al.
Mine,
I hung up on Al. I'm
just
sorry.
Saying, that's the ironic part of what he said. Like, right. Jalen is actually the 10.
Yeah, they cut that audio.
Yes, cut that. Elliot, anything new on any of the injured players today?
I spoke to Cam Jurgens last night, and he said he's playing. So he's good to go.
Did you think it was weird Dickerson was, like, sitting it out?
Yeah, so
not sitting it out. So he was there last night.
So I didn't see him sit, but I've been told by people that he was sitting.
I saw him.
Which I think is weird.
Yeah, so if you weren't there, there were about 10 people that were sitting, and they were the people that were featured. Saquon,
yes,
Jalen.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone else was just sort of standing and walking around, whereas Landon was sitting.
Yeah, some of the assistant coaches were. But
yes, none, yeah.
I,
hurt
I've and, never yeah. been at a media day that I can think of where a player sat down. So I don't think it means Landon's not playing, but it could mean they were like, you know, instead of standing on your legs for an hour, why not?
Well, he's going to play. I worry about his effectiveness.
I worry. I think if he plays, he'll play well. I'm more worried, can he finish the game?
Yeah. Because what was his injury?
It's just a knee, right?
Yeah.
Knee?
Well, but.
Yeah, I don't think they've.
This year, I feel like we've gotten less specifics on what. We never knew what Jalen's knee was.
Right.
They never even said what Jalen's finger was.
Well, if you remember, Nick.
Cam Jurgens back. They never said. They just said back.
Right.
They're like hockey now.
Well, Nick had the slip up. Remember when he said Jalen had the ankle?
I wonder
how much of that is.
Yeah.
They're just like, we're not going to mess around.
I would not be surprised if after the year it feels like one of those Landon has like knee surgery.
He was injured.
Yeah.
I know, but like, I wonder if he's playing through like a tear or something.
No, he's not. I don't know if he's playing through a tear. That would be hard to do, but
he's a tough. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know physically if you could do it. But this is the last game of the season.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you go as long as you can go.
And Kenny Gainwell.
Pause.
Yeah. Kenny Gainwell still,
another one, clip that.
Still in concussion protocol.
Okay. And
he was there, though.
Spike can't sleep at night.
Honestly, the only reason I added it is because he's a good player.
He's important. He is in their two-minute offense a lot, and they trust him.
Yeah, he was their best running back the last Super Bowl they played.
Well, that's a good point.
That's because Miles benched him. They got benched.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
So we got all the injuries. I'm trying to think if there's any other injury thing that I was thinking about. And Saquon, I assume we're fine. He had the calf thing in the last game.
And Brandon seems like going up at the podium is a pretty clear indication
he's going to play.
Yeah. They wouldn't have put him up there if they thought he wasn't going
to. That was the one thing. When I saw Brandon sitting at the podium, I was like, oh, he's definitely playing.
Yeah, he's going to be out there.
215-592-9494. Our friend OG Wade is with us. You're on WIP. OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's up, brother?
OG.
It was good to talk to you earlier this morning, OG. Thanks for the early morning phone call.
He called.
he called you directly?
Yeah, because Elliot's got some duties to take care of, and he's been avoiding them, but we got to get, you know.
Elliot does?
Okay. Yeah. He's supposed to be on the show Friday, Elliot.
I don't know if supposed to is the right word.
Elliot, don't get fresh, Elliot.
Yeah, all right.
Don't get fresh.
Yeah,
listen.
Ahead.
Let me tell y'all something right now. These talks about Jalen, I'm loving them, okay? But one thing, the problem that I have with you guys is that you're at the biggest game in all the world, and you're still talking about what Jalen can't do, won't do, ain't
no, we're not. We didn't talk about that at all. No. I love you, but no. Hold on. I'm just gonna put you on hold. I love you to death, but you can't call up and say we didn't say any of that. I said I think there is more in there with Jalen, and for an offensive coordinator to bring that out of him could be positive. When we're talking about the offensive coordinator, his relationship with the quarterback and what he gets out of their passing game
matters
a lot. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. It's not dissing Jalen. It's none of those things. You're just going to have to be prepared.
Come on, OG.
For people talking about
the
evolution.
You can't be sensitive now, OG.
You just be an adult about it.
Yeah, you can't be sensitive. You can't have a podcast where you talk about Jalen all the time.
I'm letting Spike talk. I ain't saying
I'm just saying, though, OG, he's the quarterback of the team. It's important who's the coordinator.
And he's an okay player.
Stop.
If y'all would let me land my plane sometime, y'all might learn something from the OG.
Every day.
I'm just
land it. Land it.
Here's my point. Let me land my plane, okay? My point is this here is sometimes Spike and Ike and Jack, I ain't got to say Ellie because he's my student, okay? Sometimes the quarterback has to go through a progression. So whenever he gets sacked, it's not always Jalen's fault he got sacked, okay?
Oh,
it's a sack that he may be taking. Hold on, because it goes both ways.
Exactly. So what's the point of bringing it up? Because sometimes they are his fault.
The point is we try to take something and we make more out of it than what it is. What I'm trying to say is that
being highest in sack rate against the blitz in the NFL is worth talking about. Being 29th in sack rate overall when you have the best offensive line in football is worth talking
good stats.
About.
I didn't know that.
I am not, and by the way, I think 25th in pressure against pressure. All these things happen. We can get better at that, right? And some of that is Jalen. You're just going to have to acknowledge that. I'm just saying when we bring in a coordinator, that coordinator could help him get better at those things. That's all.
Yeah, let me help you out a little bit.
Yep.
The question was, early on, the question was, who helps Jalen with that? You know where Jalen gets the help at? Every Monday morning he sits with Jeff Stoutland. And him and Jeff Stoutland goes over protections. Jeff Stoutland is the one that helps Jalen with the blitzes. Okay, it's not the offensive coordinator. Okay, it's the offensive line coach who actually knows the protections. You see what I'm saying?
It's not just about the protections. It's not just about the protections, though, OG. It's not. Because he's getting sacked when he holds the ball for 7 seconds. That's not about the protection. That's about
– Sometimes he don't want to throw the ball because if it's a read option and the offensive lineman is already downfield – so you would rather just take that sack than take the damn penalty for uneligible?
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. I would rather have the down back and the loss of yards than just the loss of yards.
So I think the reason he's holding onto the ball more this year is a fear of turning it over.
Sure.
Yeah. So right. So
yeah. 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 And that, by the way, like.
And there's positives and negatives to that. And the clear negatives is he gets sacked, which are negative plays.
Yep.
But the positive is he has cut down his turnovers tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. We are lucky enough.
Come on, OG.
Well, I just
Come
don't
on,
want him to
up,
say.
Man. Buck
we
up.
Didn't say anything bad about.
No,
Taylor
that's
today.
What I'm saying. Like, hey, I'm like, dog, you got to be able to have conversations without it turning into all that.
And yeah, you, being called a hater.
Yeah, like stop it, stop it. You're better than that, OG. Come on.
Yeah. All right. We are lucky enough to be joined by your former teammate next, Brian Westbrook. You're hanging with us, right, Elliot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boy.
So Brian Westbrook will join us next. Very exciting. Elliot Shore Parks continues to hang with us. Your calls as well. 215-592-9494 from New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.